the end of Chumash Bamidbar and Parshas Matos. So the Torah tells the story about Milchemes Midyan. And after the war was over, so the Bnei Yisrael had to be metaher themselves, because they all, when they gave a mace and they had kelim that were mekabel tumah, and they confiscated the pots and the pans of the soldiers, which were treif. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the din of Hagola and Libun, of kashering Giuli Klei Midyan, kashering the treifikev. So the pasuk says, on all the different metal kelim, called Avashiyavu Ba'esh, whatever was a broiler, and the goyim had broiled the nevelus, the treifus on it, Tavira Ba'esh V'tahir. You have to do Libun, whatever is Tashmisho Shalal Da'ayidei Ho'esh, so you have to do Hagola. And then it says, "Ach b'mei nido yischato." So what does it mean, "b'mei nido yischato"? So the poshib shat means, like the Targum Unkelah says, "b'mei ada yusa." You have to have hazor shlishi shvi. If a person or a kli becomes a tomei meis, so he has to have hazor shlishi shvi, that he should be able to be tovel in a mikveh after the 7 days are up. Every other tomei just goes to the mikveh and finished. And a tomei meis has to have hazor shlishi shvi with paraduma water, and then it can be tovel in a mikveh. So the poshib shat b'mei nido b'mei ado yuso yischato, you have to be metar the kli with hazor shlishi shvi, and then you can be, then it'll become tohar legamri. And the Gemara and the last daf on Maseches Avodah Zarah, the last Mishnah on Avodah Zarah, next to the last daf, and the last daf talk about the dinim of tefilas kelim. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation in the pasuk. The may need the means in a mikveh the mayim shahanida tovelas behem. Unlike tefilas kelim in a Torah, let's say if you have a fork that's tameh, so you can be tovelit in a little mikveh. It doesn't have to have arboim sof. It has a revius of water. It depends how big the fork is. If the fork is so big that it can't fit into a revius of water, so you need a little more water. But you don't need arboim sof. Arboim sof is only needed when you have an odom who's tummy. So here the pasuk tells you the main need of a mayim shanida tovelas behem. When you buy forks and knives and frying pans and pots and pans and so on from the non-Jews, you buy clothing from a non-Jew, you buy furniture, tables and chairs, there's no requirement to be tovelet in the mikveh. Unless it's tummy, you want to be metayrid, okay. But if you buy clay suda, forks and knives and pots and pans and so on, or containers that contain food in them, that are made to contain food, so then the Gemara learns that this additional level of interpretation in the pasuk that you need to be laskin. There is a machlekes. The simple reading of the Gemara, the last daf in Avodah Zarah, is that tefilas kelim on kli mateches is menatora. If it's metal kelim, it's menatora. And if it's kli schuches, the tefilas kelim is only needed midrabban. Other achrenim disagree. They say, no, kli schuches is also menatora. The poshib shat in the Gemara is not so. And others, today fakir, that even kli mateches is only midrabban, because the simple pshat in the pasuk, the main nido, is the mei ado yuso, that you have to have hazor shlishi shvi. There's a whole dispute in Rishonim and Achrenim whether the Rambam holds that this din of tefilas kelim and ikhim and anochrim, whether this is a din derais or din derabon. The simple reading, the Rambam says midibre sofrim, so you can never tell whether dibre sofrim is a din derais that's known through the Torah Shebal Peh, or it's only a din derabon. The Rambam used the same lotion, dibre sofrim adinim derabon and Torah Shebal Peh. The Rambam says, Amr Chachamim, Epiashmu Alamdus, all of these expressions you never know. The Ramban is a steer. The Ramban on Chumash, on that parsha, says that it's only an Asmachta mid the Rabbanan. And then the Ra'or, who was a Talmud of the Ramban, wrote the commentary, Berek Abayis, on the Torah Abayis. The Rajba wrote a Sefer, the Rajba and the Ra'or, both students of the Ramban. So the Rajba wrote a Sefer, Torah Abayis, the laws of a Jewish home. Well, he has the laws of Kashrus and the laws of Taras HaMishpacha, and the whole Yerideya, Chelek Aleph, is based on the Taras HaBayis LaHarashbo. You can't learn Yerideya without having a Taras HaBayis. And then you have the Hasogas of Rabbaran Alevi, the Ra'or, on the Taras HaBayis, that are called the Berek HaBayis, to fix up. Berek HaBayis is to fix up whenever there's something broken. So he, every so often, he'll disagree with the Rashbo. So he has a whole, in one place, he has a whole pshat that he quotes from the Ramban, with the whole pshat is based on the assumption that tefilas kelim is deraisa, not the way it says in the Ramban al Torah. So that's a question, whether the din of tefilas kelim is a din deraisa or a din derabbanan. When you have a trefa kli, so the Torah says first you have to kasha the kli, and then you toivel the kli in the mikveh. So the Gemara in the last daf in Avodah Zarah says that's the seder hadvar. First you kasha the kli, and then you toivel in the mikveh. What if you do the reverse? What if you have a trefa kli and you would toivel it in the mikveh first, and then you kasha it? So some Rishonim said that even b'di'eved, the tefillah in the mikveh was no good, because the Gemara has the principle hatovel v'sheretz biyodai. The tefillah is not oil. Tovel v'sheretz biyodai. If I'm holding on to a dead mouse, tovel v'sheretz biyodai. One can say the tefillah was good, but when I come out of the mikveh, I'm still holding on to the mouse, so I become tummy again. But over here, this is quite a stretch. Tovel v'sheretz biyodai, because it's a trefa kli, so the tefillah in the mikveh doesn't help. So we paskan lechatchili should do it in the proper order, the way it says in the Chumash, the way it says in the Mishnah and the Gemara. First, you have to kasha the trefa kli, and then you tovel in the mikveh. But if you did it out of order, first you would tovel in the mikveh, but the evidence would be good. That's how we paskin. There are Rishonim hold you have to repeat it, and we paskin not so you don't have to repeat it. The Dogam Lavava on the side of the Yeridea, this is only Yeridea Simen Kuf Chof, the beginning of the second Chelik Yeridea. The Dogam Lavava are the Horus written by the Nodi Behuda that are printed on the side of the page. So the Dogam Lavava writes, this Dogam Lavava is the beginning of Simen Kuf Chof Aleph. He thinks that the only time there's a debate is, and Rishonim is, if the treif ikli is still ben yomo, it's within 24 hours of it becoming treif. But if someone cooked some non-kosher food in a pot, and then 24 hours goes by and the pot wasn't used for hot non-kosher food, so in our Torah, you don't even have to kasher the pot at all. The whole need to kashering is only with the Rabbanan, because we assume that the blia that's sitting in the mateches, in the charis hakder, the walls of the pot, it's going to become noisen tam levgam. It's not going to have a good taste. And in our Torah, if you have a trefa blia that falls into kosher food, if I'm going to cook kosher soup in the pot later on, true, the trefa blia will go into the soup, but the soup would have tasted better without that trefa blia, because the trefa blia is nice and tam levakam because of the flavor of the metallic flavor that it will have had already absorbed by sitting in the doif and akdera for 24 hours. So the Gemara says strictly, on the last daf and Avodah Zarah says, strictly speaking, any trefa kli that you haven't used in 24 hours, you don't have to kasha min haTorah. The requirement to kasha is only mid the Rabbanan. So the Dogam Lubava says, so it's, you can't really call that toivel the sheretz biyodai. So he says, if it's ain't a ben yomo, the trefa kli, I bought in a store a trefa kli that was used. I have to both kasha it and I have to do tefilas kelim. So the Dogam Lubava thinks that then there's no problem at all. Then you can even be toivel a kli first, because the whole need to kasha, there's only a chumer and the rabbanon exera ain't a ben yomo, but there really isn't any toivel v'sheretz biyodai. And many of the Pischei Tshuva quotes that from the Dogam Lubava, and others are not so convinced that the Dogam Lubava is right. They say, bottom line, with the Rabbanon, they said you have to kasha the kli. So maybe with the Rabbanon, it's still a toivel v'sheretz biyodai. So lechatchila for sure, he's supposed to first kasha the trefa kli, and then be toivel in the mikveh. But yeah, but we paskin, if you did it out of order, it would also be good. What would be the din of a gersh and his gayer, a non-Jew converts, and he was practicing the last couple months, he was keeping kosher, and he has fleshik pots and milchik pots, and he hasn't been eating trefas for a long time already. So the pots used to belong, pots used to belong to a non-Jew himself, and now he converted, and now the pot belongs to a Jew, and it used to belong to a non-Jew. But that's not the way it's described in the Chumash. The Chumash is described a Jew got acquired ownership of a pot from a non-Jew. It's not that the non-Jew became Jewish. So some say there's no din of tefilas kelim in such a case. The Chumash doesn't describe such a case. You don't need tefilas kelim. Others say no, that there is should be an issue of tefilas kelim. So the Avnei Nezer, the Sachet Shavu Rebbe, had a son who wrote the Chassidish Rebbe, wrote to Shem Shmuel. I think there's a weekly shir. There used to be a weekly shir in the Shem Shmuel. So every so often he'll quote something from his father in Chassidus, and every so often he'll quote something from his father in Halacha. So he quotes from the Avnei Nezer, he quotes from his father that the ger who is tovel in the mikveh, the tvila for himself is oila for all of his pots and pans, and he doesn't have to be tovel of pots and pans in the mikveh. Yeah, this is based on the Issa the Heter. There's a Sefer Issa the Heter Ha'aruch. You should know what it looks like. It's a bigger, this is a tiny edition, but usually it's much bigger than this. This is quoted every single page in Yeridea. They quote the Issa v'heto ha'orech by the Rabbeinu Yoina. This is not the Rabbeinu Yoina who has on brachas in the back. On the first page says Rabbeinu Yoina Girondi. That's a mistake. Rabbeinu Girondi was Asfardi. He was the cousin and the mechutna of the Ramban. This Rabbeinu Yoina Ashkenazi, he only quotes Rashi and Tosfos. He never quotes any Sfarim. So it's a different Rabbeinu Yoina. But it's quoted every single page in the Yoridei, Chelek Aleph, Chelek Beis. They quote him all the time. Aleph of Hei is Issa Deheta Ha'orach. So Rabbeinu Yoina has this idea that the idea behind Tfilas Kelim, Andikchem Min Anochri, is that it's a form of Geiris, that you want to be Megayer the pots and the pans. You're not allowed to use non-Jewish pots and pans or forks and knives. You have to convert them. So that's what the Shem Mishmuel quotes in the name of his father, the Sachet Shavar Rebbe, the Avnei Nezer, that when the ger is tovel in the mikveh, he is megayer, so his ger is chal automatically on all of his pots and pans. Where did he get this idea from? So he says, a Mishnah in the end of Beitza, that the din is every person has a tchum, Beitza is about Yontif. Every person has a tchum Shabbos, tchum Yontif, applies on Yontif just like on Shabbos. So the Mishnah says, ha behev v'hakelim kiragli habaylim. If I own property, let's say I'm away in Eretz Yisrael for Yontif, and I give you the key to my apartment, I give you permission to use anything you want. So you're not allowed to take out something from my apartment. Since I'm in Eretz Yisrael, so anything in my apartment is chutz l'tchum. Everything that belongs to me has the same tchum that I have. So since I'm in Eretz Yisrael, all of my svarim have my tchum. So if you're going to take any sefer, you can, if something is chutz l'tchum, you can't carry it chutz l'dalaramas of where it is. So to carry it in the apartment, that's the whole house is k'dalaramas dami. If you have a valid Erev in the city, so the whole Erev is one big rishus hayochid, so you can carry in the air. But if there's no Erev in the city, so to carry, I gave you permission to use whatever you want on Chalamayit, but on Yontif, if you're going to take something out of my house and there's no Erev, then you're carrying it chutz l'dalan amoysof, and it's chutz l'tchum. Because the object is chutz l'tchum, because the Mishnah says, abeim v'akelim, any property that I own is kirag l'abalim, has the same tchum as the bat. So that's what the Shem Mishmul uses, that melitza, uses such a lashon, that just like the property of the person, abeim v'akelim, is kirag l'abalim, has the same tchum as the owner. So here also, if the owner of the kelim was tovel and mikvah l'shem geris, so his geris, his act of geris, is chal on his pots and pans. It's a big chiddush. So there used to be a dayan in London, Dayan Grosnas. He passed away maybe 30 years ago. So he has a sefer, Shadus Chuvas, very nice sefer, Leib Aryeh. His name was Aryeh Leib. So he learned by Rabbi Baruch Ber, and he learned in Radin, the same time as the Rabbonim, the Rabbi Gerelik, same time as the Rabbeim that we had here in the yeshiva. So he questions this very much. He's not so thrilled about this idea that the Gershon is Geyer. Doesn't have to be Teva LeKelim. How can you say such a wild idea? That the Tefillah of the Ger is Chal on the Kelim. So he thinks out of respect for the Avnei Nezer, maybe the Ger should be Teva without a Bracha. He should be Teva LeKelim. But to say it doesn't have to be Teva at all, he thinks that's a little too much. This din only applies if the kelim once belonged to a non-Jew. If the kelim never belonged to a non-Jew, then there's no requirement for tefilas kelim. The question is, what if the company who manufactures the kelim is a non-Jewish company, but it's a corporation? So legally, according to international law, the owner of the kelim is the corporation. It's not really owned by the person. So that's a big machlokes in halacha, whether the halacha recognizes the concept of owner of a corporation. We have such halacha, that's called a chaloshem bailim. You don't have a human being who owns it, let's say tzedakah. Tzedakah owns something, or hegdish. Hegdish owns something. So it means a chaloshem hegdish, it belongs to tzedakah, chaloshem tzedakah. You have the shevet kahuna, owns the truma. Before you give it to a particular kohen, the farmer has the right to exercise tevis or not, to give the truma to whomever, to whichever coin he chooses to. So the farmer has a tevis or not, but before he gives away the truma belongs to the Shevet Kahuna, or the Maiserishim belongs to the Shevet Leviya. So Shevet Kahuna, Shevet Leviya doesn't mean a shutfus of all the Kohanim who are alive in the world. There's a chaloshem bailim. It's like a corporation. So the halacha does recognize such a concept as a chaloshem bailim. The big debate in Europe was when they started corporations around 100 years ago, I guess, a little over 100 years ago. in the late 1800s and the early 1900s, they talk about corporations. So that's a big shaila. Let's say there's a Jewish bank and I'm going to borrow beribis from the bank. So you say, I'm a Jewish person and the bank is owned by Jewish people, so it's an issur ribis. So they say, no, the corporation owns the money in the bank. True, the Jewish people are the ones who made the corporation, but strictly speaking, the money is being loaned to me by the corporation. Corporation is not a person, so there's no issur ribis. So over here, let's say if the store that I bought it from is owned by non-Jews, but the store is incorporated, and the company who manufactured it is also incorporated, and the middleman, the distributor, everybody all along, every step of the way, everybody is incorporated. So nobody really owns anything. So can you really say that you really need Tfilas Kelim? So it's a big machlokes in din, whether the halacha, Rav Moshe Feinstein held that the halacha does not recognize corporations. Halacha recognizes that there's limited liabilities. Moshe holds that that's relevant to Hilchas Ribis. But to say that it's not owned by the person, he didn't think that that was on. Other Gdalim held otherwise. So that's why some people are always toivel all the kelim without any brocha at all. Because all the kelim is a suffix. Maybe it was, strictly speaking, maybe it's never really owned by a non-Jew. We spoke about the Gersh and his Gaia, whether he has to be toivel as kelim. So Dain Grosnos thinks that he has to be toivel as kelim b'li brocha. He thinks it's too much to go like the Shem Yishmol quotes in the name of his father, the Sachat Shavar Rebbe. The Shaila is, let's say, for breakfast, the Ger went to the mikveh, let's say, at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. So for breakfast, he cooked something. He's keeping kosher the last couple of months. So he made fried eggs. So what about the leftover fried eggs? It's Bishul Akum. He's not allowed to eat the leftover fried eggs in the afternoon. Whose daughter is he going to marry? The whole prohibition of Bishul Akum may lead to intermarriage. Who? He's going to marry his own daughter. So true in Shulchan Aruch, it says that Bishul Akum is also, even if a galach is cooking the food or baking the bread, either galach doesn't have any children, he has an oath of celibacy, so maybe he violated the oath. But Shulchan Aruch says, even if he's a from a galach, he didn't violate the oath. That's a loy plug rabbanim. They made exer Bishul Akum and so on because of chastas. It may lead into marriage. Yeah, but does it make sense to say that it's also the ger is not allowed to eat the leftover food that he cooked for breakfast? Maybe, but I don't know. It's questionable. But then you say he has to kasher the pots and pans also. We said last time it's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch whether you have to, if a goy cooked kosher food in my pot, so I'm not allowed to eat the food, so what about, do you need hagolah or not? So that's a machloikas. Mikra dinah, should we explain last time, should really be mutter, should really say it's not macholas asuris, because you don't need shishim, so really all you need is rife. So really, it doesn't make sense to say you have to kasha. So it's a chumrah, we have to kasha. So that's questionable. Does the gersh and his gar have to kasha? Because it's bishul akum, so probably a little too much.
Why do we make a bracha to begin with, on the same accord for
right, Hagala and Libun, we don't say a bracha. Tosis says that's not a mitzvah, that's just a matir. So when you do a matir, it's also to eat non-kosher food. So if I'm going to cook kosher food in the same pot, so it'll make a treif. So the Hagala and the Libun is like salting the meat. We don't say a bracha. You're not allowed to eat the blood. You're not allowed to eat the gilanoshi. You're not allowed to eat the chalev. So they have to trade with the flesh. They have to do. They have to remove all of the nikar achela v'hagid to make sure you don't do an avera. So kashering the pots and pans, Taisa says that's not really a mitzvah. It's just a matter. But this is a mitzvah. This is just a mitzvah to be toivel akelim. So strictly speaking, you're supposed to say a bracha oivel asiyasim immediately before you toivel akelim. It says in Shulchan Aruch, if you have one kli to be toivel, you say bracha al tfilas kli. If you have more than one kli to be toivel, then you say al tfilas kelim. But whenever there's any suffix, so you should be toivel le kelim without a bracha. Right.
A partnership with a Jew and a non-Jew who produce
Kalim,
does that kelim?
Whenever there's a partnership, and then a Jew buys it, so then you're supposed to be toivel le kelim. If it's still owned, if the kli is still owned by a non-Jew, so tfilas kelim isn't going to help. So there's no mitzvah. Let's say there's a kosher restaurant that's owned by a non-Jew. So he owns all the pots and pans. So there's no din of tfilas kelim. It's owned by a non-Jew. Or let's say it's owned b'shutfis between a Jew and a non-Jew. So there's no din of tfilas kelim. He won't accomplish anything. It still belongs to the nochri.
Let's say a person's decided to saw Bekel brothers and told them to prepare not to hold so without a bracha, like Rabbi Judah said. And afterwards, he realizes that really the situation should have told with the bracha. So do we say that the first two are counted and the other is okay? Or do we make them?
No. Whenever you do any mitzvah without a bracha, so you yotze b'dieved. There's a machlekes and simon yutes and yeredei by hilcha shchita. What if you shecht an animal and you didn't say a bracha before? Can you say a bracha right after? So the Rambam holds that the requirement to say a bracha is even b'diyevit, even if he already did the mitzvah a second, he just finished the mitzvah a second ago, mashanasa kranasa, you can't say the bracha lachar asiyosam. And the Or Zarua disagrees with the Rambam. He says if it's soon after, it's a person started davening, it was so early in the morning, it's too early, he put on talis and tefillin too early to say a bracha. He's supposed to say a bracha later on, before he take off the tefillin. What if he already took off the tefillin, and as he took it off and he's putting it away, he realized that he forgot to say a bracha. So the Rambam would say, farfalan, don't say a bracha. And the Or Zarua would say, you do say a bracha. But if you remind yourself an hour later, then no one says that you say a bracha, only if it's soon after. That's a machloika is there in Simon Yutes, how do we paskin? Because the Ramor there in Simon Yutes says, if he's shechting an animal, there is a machlokes. What if he shecht a behemoth that's a trefa? A behemoth that's a trefa means it has a disease, and let's say it has a broken leg, broken in such a way that the whole animal is a trefa. But if you shecht the trefa, the shechita is mitar medena vela. It's not going to be mata b'achila. So Rashi's opinion is that when you shecht the trefa, since the shechita is chal, so a bracha is recited. And we don't paskin like Rashi. We paskin if you know in advance that the animal is a trefa, then you don't say a bracha. So the Ramah has this din in Siman Yutes, that's in Hilcha Shechita, the Siman about Birchas HaShechita. What if the person knows in advance that this animal is a Suffolk trefa? It fell down a flight of stairs or something, and it's a Suffolk, maybe it has a punctured, maybe the ribs punctured a hole in the lungs, maybe it's a trefa. Say, after you shecht it, you'll have to check. So the Ramah says, don't say a bracha before you shecht, because there's a good chance that it'll turn out to be a bracha l'matola. It may turn out to be a trefa. But after you shecht and you check and you see that it's not a trefa, then the Ramah says you may say a bracha. So some achrenim take it, there's a long shach over there. So some achrenim take it that there are more paskins b'diyevet, like the Or Zarua, that you can't say a bracha l'achar asiyos. And other achrenim on the daf say no. That the Gemara says that when a ger is tovel in a mikveh, he doesn't say the bracha, asher kedishana b'mitzvah yisav b'tzivanu, ala tvil. He can't say the bracha before, he's not Jewish yet. How can he say asher kedishana b'mitzvah yisav b'tzivanu? The ger is an exception to the rule. When he's tovel in the mikveh, he says the bracha la'achar asiyos, because he wasn't able to say the bracha before. So whenever you weren't able to say the bracha before, kach tikna chachamim, that you say the bracha after. So some say that's the only time there are more paskins like the Or Zarua. If the animal that you shechting was a suffix trefa and you weren't able to say the bracha before, you're Jewish, but it's a suffix, maybe it's a trefa. So because you weren't able to say the bracha before, so the Ramah holds in such a case, kach tikna chachamim, that the bracha should be recited, take it from miyad lachar asiyosim. But if you have, let's say, tefilas kelim, after you tovel all the kelim in a mikveh, and you're about to walk home, then you realize you've got to say a bracha, so then the Ramah would not say that you say a bracha lachar asiyosim. That's a machlokes, how do we paskin? Can you say the bracha lachar asiyosim? Again, this din of Tvilas Kelim, the Poshib Shatting Gemara is that on Kli Mateches it's the rice and Kli Schuches it's only by the Rabbanim. On other Kelim, on wooden Kelim, they never made a Takona. Or on Kli Cheres, they never made a Takona. What if you have Kli Cheres HaMetzupa Ba'avor? If you have lead coating on the inside and the outside of China Kelim, so then the Gemara says it's mitzupa on the inside and the outside, then you need tefillas kelim. What if it's only mitzupa avor in the inside? What if you only coated the inside with lead? The whole kli is really kli cheres, which doesn't require tefillas kelim, and it's only coated in the inside with lead, so that's a machloikes. So the Shulchan Aruch says, and the Ramah says in such a case, it's only mitzupa in the inside, you should do the tefillas kelim, b'li bracha. What if it's mitzupa b'schuches? What if you have a kli cheres, China dishes, a china, and it has a coat, a layer of glass on the inside and the outside? So the Darkei Tshuva on Siman Kuf Chof points out, your wife or your mother's, may go to ceramics class. So they paint a design on a china plate, and then they spray on a very thin coating. Either they spray on with a thing that they squirt, or they paint it on with a paintbrush, a very, very thin coating of glass just to protect the surface of the china dish so it shouldn't get scratched when you rub with a fork and a knife. So that's a mashuhu de mashuhu. That's a 1/16 of an inch, 1/100 of an inch. It's so insignificant. The thickness of the kli is the china. And then you have a mashuhu on the top and the mashuhu on the bottom. So the Darkei Teshuva said, that's not called metzupe bezchuchas. But if you have, sometimes, the minig is when a girl gets engaged, so they break a plate, so they break a kli cheres. So when you break a, or you smash a kli cheres at home by accident, so you look at it, it's the thickness of the glass is very thick. It's not just the mashuhu. It's more than half of the thickness of the whole thing. There's glass on the top, glass on the bottom. So that's called mesupe bezchuchis. So the Shach quotes from the Issa v'Heter, every page he quotes from the Issa v'Heter. The Shach quotes from the Issa v'Heter, then in such a case also, you need tefillas kelim. If it's mesupe in the inside, both on the top and on the bottom, then you would say a bracha. It's only mesupe on the inside. By us, it's mesupe on the top and the bottom. So then the Issa v'Heter would say that you say a bracha also. Many gedolim held not so. Only mitzupa ba'avor. Only if it's the Gemara only talks about mitzupa ba'avor. If it's coated in the inside and the outside, or coated in the inside is a sfeika d'dina. If it's coated with lead, with metal, because metal in tefilas kelim in atoira. But in schuchis is only with the rabbanon. So you have a klicheres that's mitzupa b'schuchis, a chumra on top of a chumra. So many had the practice not to be toivel china dishes. So Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in his sefer. That was his practice. Rav Soloveitchik said that was his practice. They printed recently the Anhagos of Rabbi Gifter. So they wrote that was his practice also. They weren't toivel china dishes. Others are toivel china dishes, but they don't say a brocha because they know that there are others who hold that the mitzupa b'schuch is not the same as mitzupa ba'avor. What if a person, let's say, cooks some food in a pot that he was never toivel? Does it make it that the food is also? So this is a machlekes of Rishonim on the last daf of Maseches Avodah Zarah, and we paskin that it does not also. You mevatel a mitzvah. You shouldn't use the forks or the knives. You shouldn't use the kelim. Kol zman you weren't toivel them, but we paskin it does not also the food. Yeah, the Chumash only speaks to that parsha in Parshas Matos. When it speaks about the metal kelim that the Jewish army in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu that they confiscated from the Midyanim, so the Chumash mentions specifically 7 types of metal. It doesn't mention all types of metal. So some, now we make, years ago they didn't have the ability to have aluminum. Aluminum was always part of iron. They didn't have the chokmah to figure out how to separate. They're really 2 different metals, aluminum and iron. But in recent years, we have aluminum. So that's a big machlekes, whether aluminum, kelim, or mekabel tuma. Because the Chumash, the Mishnah is talking about kli mateches. So there's even though the Chumash in Parshas Mata says, achas hazov, es hakesev, es hanachoshes, it lists off, zov, kesev, and nachoshes, barzel, bedil, oiferes. It lists off 6 metals. So do you say atzad shav shabem? It means metal kalim. Who are dinami if you have aluminum kalim? Or do you say no? Only these 6 metals, if you make a kli from any other metal, it won't be makabel tumah. And the Chumash only speaks about tefillas kalim on these 6 metals. It doesn't say tefillas kalim on aluminum. So that's a machlokes in Mishnayis kalim. The Teferes Yisrael on Mishnayis writes, a standard commentary in the bottom of the page, so he writes that he was a Talmud of Rabbi Kivege. He writes that he thinks all metal kelim are mekabel tumim in HaTorah, and he says he doesn't understand why the Vilna Gaon says not so. The Bi'ur HaGrua, Mishnayis Kelim, seems to assume, written by the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon, he seems to assume that only the 6 metals are mekabel tumim, and any other metal, in the days of the Vilna Gaon, they didn't have aluminum either. Any other metal wouldn't be mekabel tumim. Rav Moshe Feinstein talks about this, about Kohanim going on an airplane with a mace. The airplane is going over a cemetery, or if there's a mace in the airplane is now made from aluminum. So he discussed maybe aluminum is not makabel tumah, so therefore it is chaytzitz b'fnei tumah, not chaytzitz b'fnei tumah. Rabbi Yanka Kamenetsky also, he raised the issue, maybe you don't need tefillas kelim on aluminum. The Chumash only says 6 metals. Any other metal is not mentioned, and it's not included in kli schuches, so it's neither here nor there, so it's not there, right? So it's not the rabbanon. So maybe you don't need tefillas kelim on aluminum. So we're machmer to be toivel aluminum kelim as well. We assume that we should say toivel without a bracha. Shouldn't say a bracha. Moshe Feinstein has a chiddush based on Mishnayis and kelim, that if you have Well, it has a chiddush in two stages. So the first step in the chiddush is if you have a kli that's only used once. The whole nature of the kli is that you have a pumpkin, and somehow you fill the pumpkin up with food. You cook it like that, whatever. So it's only used once, and then it can't be reused again. So Moshe has a chiddush based on Mishnah. He said that's not called a kli. It's not a kabel tumah. It's not called a kli. Okay. Then he goes step number two. So he says in America where we have tinfoil pans, and the meaning in America is that we don't. If you want, you can really clean out the pan and reuse it. Reuse it many times over. But it's a pain in the neck. The whole pan costs a nickel. So why should I waste a half an hour to clean it out and then to reuse it? So we throw it in the garbage. If it would be another country, they would never throw it out in the garbage. But they would reuse it many times over. So Ramosha says, but since in America we're going to throw it out in the garbage, it's only used once. So he claims that that too is included in the din in the Mishnah, that a kli that's only used once doesn't have a din of a kli, and therefore there's no need for tefillah skelim. Many disagree with Rav Moshe's Chiddush. They hold that just because we in America are so spoiled, we don't want to waste our time. It's easier for us to throw the nickel pan out, the quarter out, rather than to wash it again. But if it would be another country in the world, they would reuse it. It is. Theoretically, the kli could be reused. That's why many disagree with Rav Moshe. They hold the tinfoil kelim, you have to be toivel. Even Rav Moshe says that you don't have to be toivel. So he writes, that's only if you only plan to use it once, but if you plan to reuse it several times, he's not sure how many times you have to use it. Two times, three times, he's not sure. But he says, if you plan to reuse it, then you have to be toivel it before the first time. It's not that there's a special dispensation that the first time you use a kli, you don't have to be toivel it. No. If it's a kli, that the minhag hamakom is that you only use it once, then Rav Moshe thinks that it's not called a kli, and you don't have to have tefillas kelim. But if you plan to reuse it, then you have to be toivel it even before the first time that you use it. Yeah, what about plastic kelim? What about plastic kelim? Do you require tefillas kelim or not? So most, the overwhelming majority of the poskim hold that on plastic there's no need for tefillas kelim. Rav Avad Yosef has a tshuva about this. He has tshuvas about everything. So the Minchas Yitzchak has a tshuva. Minchas Yitzchak was dying wise, who was the head of the Eda Haredis for many years. So Minchas Yitzchak has a tshuva where he's always machmer and everything. He's usually machmer and everything. So he's machmer in the middle of his tshuva. He refers you to look in Chacham Avadya's tshuva. So Rav Avadya has a later tshuva where he says, he refers to my tshuva, but he didn't quote that I said you don't need tefillah skin. He says, look at my tshuva, as if I go along with him. I don't go along with him. You don't need tefillah skin. So that's a shaila. Some Rabbanim hold that there are two types of plastic. See, the Gemara says, the simple reading of the Gemara is that they made a takana, the Rabbanim, they have to have tefillah kelim on glass kelim. Why? So the Gemara says, because in a certain sense, glass kelim are similar to metal kelim in that if the glass will develop a hole, so you'd be able to melt it and fix it again. And fix up the hole or the crack. He melted over the burning hot fire. Same way he made the glass kelim in the first place, over a hot fire. So the same by metal. If the metal develops a hole, so you'd be able to melt it and fill up the hole. So the same is by the glass. So by plastic, there are two types of plastic. If sometimes you'll notice at home, if you leave a plastic Tupperware next to too close to the fire, so sometimes the whole thing is going to melt away, and sometimes the thing will just get harder and harder. It's not going to melt away. So there are two different types of plastic. So those who are machma that you have to be tovel plastic, that's only those plastics where if you leave it too close to the fire, it's going to melt. You have to ask an expert. If you leave it so close to the fire, the thing is going to melt. So then if it would develop a hole, so it's the same logic as the Gemara gave regarding glass, that glass kelim, you need tefillas kelim in the Rabbanim, because if it would develop a hole, you would do the same as in a metal kli, that you would melt it and fix up the hole. But the other kind of plastic, that's hard plastic, and if it gets a hole, you won't be able to fix it. You put it next to the fire, it's just going to get harder. It's not going to melt away to be able to fix up the hole. So that l'chol ha'deis, you don't need tefillas kelim. If you have wooden kelim, or if you have paper cups, paper plates, that for sure. There's no need for tefillas kelim, not min ha-Torah, and not min the Rabbanan. In the Shulchan Aruch, they talk about the following situation. You have wooden barrels, and you have the wooden barrels wouldn't hold together, and you hold beer in the barrels, or you hold wine in the barrels, whatever you hold. and the wooden barrels wouldn't hold together if not for the fact that you have metal rings around it that hold it together. So the food is really held inside the wooden container, but the metal is what's mam in it. So there are tanoim. This is a question in tanoim. There are tanoim who say hakahol achar hamamid, that has the status of a kli mateches. Even though the food doesn't touch the mateches on the outside, to hold it together, but al pidin, the whole kli is called a kli mateches. So that's why in Shulchan Aruch, that's a machlokes, and says you should be tovel without a bracha. If you have a wooden barrel with metal rings around it to hold it together. If you have a tripod, it says in Shulchan Aruch, a tripod holds the pot on top and you have the fire on the bottom. So the tripod holds the pot, it doesn't hold the food. So that doesn't require tefillas kelim. Well, let's say a lot of people have a glass cup where they hold the coffee or tea, and they have a metal holder to hold the cup in it. So the metal holder doesn't need tefillas kelim. The metal holder holds the cup. It doesn't hold the food. The glass holds the food. So whenever you have a kli that's meyuchad to hold another kli, so you don't need tefillas kelim on that. What if you have, let's say, a metal, beautiful silver tray, and you put cookies on it, but you always put doilies on the tray in order that the doily should absorb the grease, the oil of the cookies. So you never have the cookies directly touching the tray itself. So that the Darka Tshuva says, no, that's the kli is holding the oichel. You wouldn't put the... It's not the doily is not a kli. You just want to put the paper doily or the paper... napkin to absorb some of the oil from the cookies. But that's not called the kli that's holding the cookies. The metal tray is holding the cookies. So that does require tefillas kelim. If you have a can opener, that does not need tefillas kelim. Some people on some machlokes. Can opener doesn't need tefillas kelim. It doesn't contain any food. You mean you put the food in a container and then you put the container on it. It's a plate that holds another plate. Right. So that's a tripod. So that same as a tripod that you don't need tefillas kelim on
that. We'll just put the pan there to keep the gravy from spilling around or something, like the doilies.
Correct. If the doilies would be a kli, then let's say I would have the food is in a paper cup. I have a paper cup and I put it on a tray in a microwave oven, but the food is held in a paper cup. So then the tray on the bottom is just a kli that holds another kli. So that doesn't need tefillas kelim.
But then by a toaster being used, there's no other kli that you put the bread in the toaster.
So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a surprising tshuva. He thinks that a toaster doesn't need tefillas kelim. He thinks you only need tefillas kelim on forks and knives and the plates that you actually eat the meal with, or pots and pans, frying pans and pots that you cook the food in. But he says the bread is already baked. The bread is roi l'achila. And the toaster is just to give it this added flavor of being toasted. So he says it's neither here nor there. It's not clay suda. You don't eat with it, and it's not the kli that prepared it. So he thinks that you don't need tefillas kelim. Many disagree with Rav Moshe. So it's a very difficult shuva. Many disagree. What if you have a butter knife that's only miyuchad for smearing butter? So you don't eat with the butter knife, and you don't prepare the food either. It's a difficult chiddush he has. The pashtus is that a toaster does need tefillas kelim. Yeah. You can get electrocuted if you're going to plug in the toaster when it's going to be wet. So you have to toivel if you have a motor, and you be toivel a kli, then the water will ruin the motor. But if you have an element, not a motor, so then you toivel it in the mikveh. You wait till it dries out, and there's no problem. There won't be any problem at all. So you have to wait. Put it in the sun or put it on a radiator, and wait a week till it dries out, so that that won't get ruined. Rav Moshe has a tshuva. What about a samovar? A metal samovar that you cook up water in order to have water for coffee or for tea. So Rav Moshe thinks that it's on the bottom it has an element. So Rav Moshe says that he considers that shnei kelim hamechubarim yachad, the upper kli contains the water and the bottom kli is the element. So he thinks that the element part doesn't need tefillas kelim, only the part of the kli, the upper part, that contains the water. So he says you can turn it upside down. It's going to be quite a trick. Turn it upside down. A big samovar. How's the water going to go in? There's going to be empty airspace there. So how's that? That's a problem. Okay. So Moshe thinks that if you have such a samovar, you don't have to be toivel the whole thing under the surface of the mikveh. You only have to be toivel that part that contains the water, and the element part you don't have to. Aye, but then that should be a chatzitza. The bottom of the samovar isn't coming in contact with any water. You're only gonna turn it upside down. You're just gonna be toivel that part that holds the water, and then the whole bottom 2-3 inches that normally is on the bottom, so now it's on the top. You turn it upside down. So you're not going to be toivel that. So you never did any tfilas kelim on the bottom of the kli. So he quotes a Rashi in Mishnah. He said that's called beis hastorim. So beis hastorim doesn't need tfilah. Beis hastorim doesn't need tfilah. So even though by Odom there's a din that beis hastorim does need tfilah, but you can't have a chatzitza in your mouth. You don't have to open your mouth when you're toivel in a mikveh. But if you have a chatzitza in between your teeth, then a chatzitza is a problem. So over here, he has a quote, Sarasha Mishnayis Mikvois, who says that that's only by Odom. And by Kalim, there's no such din. By Kalim, whatever is based on Storm, neither needs Tvilas, neither needs Bias Maim, you don't have to be Teufel it, nor is there a problem of Chatzitza. So that's his Chiddush. But it's very difficult. When you have a Samovar, you have to turn it upside down and be Teufel the whole thing. That's quite a stunt. How are you going to get it all full of water? You're going to have an empty space there. So you have to figure out how to fill it up with water.
There's some clients that say, do not immerse in water.
It says, do not immerse in water, because if you're going to plug it in when it's still sopping wet, then you'll get electrocuted. Yeah, so you have to wait till it dries off. You have to wait till it dries off. Or you have to, sometimes where the element is, sometimes it may collect water and it may not dry out. So then you're going to get electrocuted, Vaita. So you got to, so Rav Moshe says, don't be toivel that part. He says, you don't have it to be toivel that part. He said, the toaster, that's not a problem. The toaster, Maisim Achayam, people toivel the whole toaster. And then you wait till it dries. So then there won't be any problem. The din is when it says in Shulchan Aruch, when you toivel a kli, you have to even be toivel the handle. Let's say you have a frying pan. So not only do you have to be toivel that part of the frying pan that holds the food, even the handle also is part of the kli.
This time the tray comes out, it's mamish, it's a separate part. The whole tray can come out, it's not part of the toaster.
Oh, yeah, so then it's a separate thing.
And the toaster itself doesn't have to be toivel?
Yeah, then for sure. Then it's shnei kelim. Then it's two different kelim. Yeah, you only have to be toivel that part of the kli. Let's say you have a pot that you cook soup in and it has a lid. So the Shulchan Aruch says that the lid is considered, when you're cooking the soup, the lid prevents the soup from evaporating. If you wouldn't have a lid, all the soup would disappear. So it's considered as if the lid is also containing the food. So you need tefillas kelim on the lid. But if you have a cookie jar or you have a candy jar and it has a lid on top, the lid is just to prevent all the dust from falling in. The lid doesn't hold the food in. So the lid of a cookie jar, the lid of a candy jar, doesn't require tefillas kelim, only the lid of a soup pot, because that's considered as if it holds the food in.
You have to cover the plug through the line, the
cord? No, I don't think so. You mean that's like the handle? I don't know. There was a big rav we mentioned the other day. We were talking about Rabbi Breisch from Switzerland. So he has a tshuva. He spoke about Siddur Kiddushim, he mentions. He has a tshuva in the Chalkas Yaakov. That's the name of his tshuvas. He has a tshuva. He thinks that if you have an appliance, you have a toaster, it only works when you plug it into the wall. So that's called Mechuba Lekarka, Dina Kekarka, and whatever is Dina Kekarka is not called a kli. It's either one or the other. If it's it can only be a kli if it's tolish. I remember Baron Soloveitchik thought that that was so, but most assume that that's a big joke. Most assume that that's not called Mechuba Lekarka. Mechuba Lekarka means a lamppost, this guy, you know, telephone pole, but a plug, you plug something and that's called Mechuba Lekarka. Pashtus is that it's not Mechuba Lekarka.
If someone's totaling his pad in the lid, should he say, I'll tell you that's clean, or I'll tell you that's clean, or is there like two separate kelim?
Yeah, I think so. It's probably two different kelim. I think so. Here's a shala. Let's say I come home, I bought the canned goods in the store. So the cans used to belong to the non-Jewish company, unless everything is all incorporated, and you hold that you don't need tefillah, but they were machmar not to be tefillah. So when I bring all the cans home, I have to open up all the cans immediately because I'm using the kelim that I have tomato juice and I have orange juice. I have everything in the kelim, and they're glass kelim and they're metal kelim. So I have to empty everything out immediately when I come home. So this is a modern shaila. So this Riri Yesh has a tshuva about this. If I'm not mistaken, I think it's to Rabbi Gifta, the tshuva in this Riri Yesh. So he says that the minhag olam is that people are not tovel it because we assume that's hishtamshus b'shevi al tasa. The food is already in the kli. If I take a fork and a knife that I was never tovel and I cut the food and I start eating, I use a plate, I use a metal plate. So I'm using it, I use a glass to drink from, I'm using the kli. If I have a frying pan or a pot, I'm using it b'kumbay asay. But here, this is called ishtamshes b'sheva atasa. The food is already in the kli. I just leave it there. So we make all that you don't need tefilas kelim on that. But let's say, once you open up, let's say you have a glass bottle. Let's say, now they sell a plastic container. Yes, they used to sell orange juice in glass containers. Let's say I come home, have the glass container, and then I open it up. Then I start pouring out. So if you're going to put, let's say you have a bottle of wine. Let's have a bottle of wine. The bottles were not getoivel, and they were probably manufactured by non-Jewish companies. So if I'm going to pour wine back in, so that's for sure, that's hishtamshes b'kumbi yaseh, that you're not allowed to do. Even if you pour wine out, that's still called hishtamshes b'shevi al tasa. The guy's pouring out this. That's questionable. Is that still called hishtamshes b'shevi al tasa? Or do you say, no, what do you mean? He's pouring wine out. It's part of it. The bottle is half empty, and then he's pouring out. That's the question. At what point do you consider it ishtamshes b'kum v'yaseh that you should require a tefillah scale?
In the Eretz Yisrael, if you buy something, you're not sure where it was manufactured. Do you assume it's manufactured by Jews?
I don't think so. You have to find out what the likelihood is. I don't think so. There's still a lot of things. I remember a lot of glasses say made in France. A lot of them are made in Europe. They buy whatever is the least expensive that they buy.
So when you drink wine and you put back, you shouldn't be kosher pogam. That would be a shame.
Yeah, if you're going to pour the
wine. Kosher wine.
Yeah.
You don't see to it that the bottle.
If the bottle is not getoivled, so then you have a problem. You're using that's hishtamshes b'kum v'yaseh. That for sure is hishtamshes b'kum v'yaseh.
Yeah.
I think that not. Let's say you buy a glass bottle of soda, you're going to drink directly from the bottle. That's probably not right. Pashta says that's not right. So some said if you're going to, some gedolim held that if you're going to give the bottle back to the store and you're going to get your nickel deposit or whatever you're going to get, so it's considered as if it still belongs to the Goyisha company. Why it still belongs to the Goyisha company? You're not mechuyev to give it back. So shvache heta. This din of tefilas kelim only applies if it's clay suda. If you let's say you have a knife, and I use this knife to cut leather, so I don't need tefilas kelim. So another Jewish person wants to borrow the knife from me to use it to cut his challah, so he doesn't need tefilas kelim either because by me it's miyuchud for cutting leather, so it's not chayv in tefilas kelim in such a case. Let's say I own a restaurant in Tel Aviv, and I have forks and knives and pots and pans, but I never eat in my own restaurant. I never go to Tel Aviv. So is that called klei suda because the customers are Jewish and they're eating? Or no, it's not called klei suda because I never eat in my restaurant. So the Darkei Tshuva has a likut of all the achreinim on Yeridah. Darkei Tshuva quotes a Talmud Chacham and his Talmud and his son-in-law. Three people said the same thing. Achidish. Talmud Chacham one day woke up on the left side of the bag and he wasn't thinking straight. So he said that you don't need tefilas kelim. You don't, because that's called klei schoira. It's not called klei suda. It's called klei schoira. So he apparently was a good bal mazba. So his Talmud agreed with him and his son-in-law agreed with him. But the Pashta says that it's not correct. There are kashrus organizations who rely on that. That if you have a kosher restaurant owned by kosher or a caterer, owned by Jewish people, they won't require tefillah kelim on the pots and pans and on the forks and the knives because they never eat from the forks and the knives. They own the whole business. But they don't eat from that. So the Pashto says that that's not really correct. Years ago, there used to be a practice when the Rabbanim used to do Mechiras Chometz, so some were so machmas, so they would sell all the Chometz they could, pots and pans also. Because there was a bli of Chometz in the pots and pans. So the Gedolim pointed out, if you sell your pots and pans and you buy it back after Pesach, then you have to have Tfilas Kelim. The Pizchei Tshuva quotes that. That the Rabbi Yehuda's son wrote in his Sefer, Drishas Tzion, he quotes that from his father, from the Rabbi Yehuda, that he used to say every year, that when they sell a chametz, they should not sell the pots and pans. So many posts can point that out already. If you have, let's say I'm Jewish, and I give a chunk of silver to a non-Jew to make a becher out of it, and then he gives it back to me. So that's a discussion in the Gemara of all places in the end of Bava Kama, whether Uman Koine Bishvachli or Ein Uman Koine Bishvachli. There's a poil and there's a kaplan. A poil is a fellow who works in a factory and he gets paid by the hour. Let's say a Jew owns a factory and he has non-Jewish workers, and the non-Jewish workers keep on making silver bechas. They make silver forks and knives all day long, metal forks and knives. So there's no machlokes there that the poil is not koine b'shvach hakli. Everything was owned by Jews, so there's no problem. But if you have a craftsman, a jeweler, and I give him the raw material and I ask him to make me a bech, and he charges me by the job. He doesn't charge me by the hour. That's called a kablon. So then the Gemara has a machlokes whether uman is kind of bishvach kli or not. So the Shulchan Aruch says, some rishonim paskin la'aloch uman is kind of bishvach kli. So it's considered as if the becha belonged to the non-Jewish jeweler, non-Jewish worker, and then I buy it back. When I pay him the salary, it's not that I'm paying him the salary, I'm paying him to buy back the becha from him. So we're machmer on that case if you have a Jewish piece of raw material, raw metal that belonged to a Jew. He gave it to a non-Jewish woman to make a kli out of it, and then he made a kli, and the Jew buys it back from him. So we're machmer over there to require tefillas kelim without a brocha. Misofik, maybe woman koine b'shvach kli. When you tevel in the mikveh, you have to be tevel everything bebasachas. When you have tray for kelim, you don't have to kasha the whole kli bebasachas. You can kasha one end now and the other end later, different times. You can kasha different parts of the pot, whether with hagola or with libam. But when you do tefillas kelim, you have to be tevel the whole kli, has to be submerged under the water bebasachas. The din is you cannot have any chatzitzes. So you have stickers, so you have to remove all the stickers, and sometimes even after you take off the sticker, the glue is still there, so you would never want to use have a whole bunch of dishes at home, glass cups for dessert. So they all have stickers on them, so it'll take hours to remove all the stickers. Then you have to make sure you remove all of the glue as well, because that's a miuta makbid. Minatar, it's only considered a chatzitz if it's a rubai hamakbid. I mean, the Rabbanon, the Gemara says, the Chachamim made exer the Rabbanon, that even a miut ha-makbid, or a ruba shena makbid, is also considered a chatzitza. There is an opinion, based on the Gemara in Yevamos, on Daf Ayin Ches, that the chumrav of miut ha-makbid, ruba shena makbid, doesn't apply to a ger, who is being toivah l'shem geris. Only applies to a woman who is a nida, who is going to mikveh, or if somebody's tomei. Kelim atomi, a person is tomi, wants to be tovel, so then there are dinim of miut ha-makbid and ruba she'ena makbid. But if you have a ger, habola his guy, and he's tovel in a mikvah, so there is such an opinion. Tosfos Rishonim has a comment on the Gemara that then the chumra de rabbana doesn't apply. So there's some are of the opinion that this should carry over to tefillas kelim. Because since Rabbeinu Yonah wrote in the Yisavahet that tefillas kelim is a form of geris on the pots and the pans, so there wouldn't be a chumra of miut ha-makbid and ruba shein ha-makbid. But we don't hold like that. We hold that all the dinim do apply. So in Shulchan Aruch they talk, let's say I have 100 forks and knives, I put them all in a basket, I want to be tovel everything in the mikveh. Everything is sitting on top of everything else, so the water is not going to be touching all of the, unless you shake up the whole basket. So you see that all the forks and the knives had the water touching it, but if you just lower it and you take it out, you lower it in the mikveh, you take it out, they were probably touching each other in such a way that there was a chatzitza there. Well, let's say a person is going to hold something, he has a silver kli, he doesn't want to drop it in the mikveh, he's going to drop it, he won't be able to get it out. So he's holding it very tightly, puts it in, so that's a chatzitza. His hand is a chatzitza on the outside. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Mishnah is that in such a situation you have to be careful that you don't hold it too tightly. You have to make sure that the water is in between your hand and the kli that you're being toivel. There is a Mishnah in Maseches Beitza that on Shabbos and Yom Tov it's not permissible to be toivel kelim that are tomei. You're not allowed to be toivel kelim that are tomei. That's a gzeirim of the Rabbanon, Mesakan Mona. So the Magen Mishnah has a whole Machlekes HaRishonim. What about this Tfilas Kelim? You're not supposed to use the Kelim before you table them. So would you say that this is also called Mesakan Man? So it's a ganze Machlekes. So we say that you shouldn't. Misofik, you shouldn't be Tevel Kelim on Shabbos and Yontif. Ben Hashmashes is a Shal. Maybe Ben Hashmashes, it's only the Rabbanon. Maybe there's room to be Mekel. Ben Hashmashes is a Ver Shabbos. A lot of times people buy new things for Pesach, new pots and pans for Pesach. So the Balabasta is busy. She always sends her little children to the mikveh to be tevel. So if the children are before bar mitzvah, it says in Shulchan Aruch that the cotton doesn't have the manis. Let's say the kid is going to be bar mitzvah on Thursday. So the mother sends him on Tuesday. He should be tevel all the kelim in the mikveh. And then he's going to bring him back and not going to use it till Shabbos. So that's a question. Cotton shehigdil. The cotton tells us after his bar mitzvah that he took care of something before his bar mitzvah. But does he have the manas on what he said before? So that's a mishnah in the end of the second parak in Ksubis, where the mishnah says if it's a din derabanan, then a katan shehigdal has the manas. So that's a question. The mishnah gives a few examples: kiim shtaris and tchum shabbos and to eat truma derabanan. Does it only the kula only applies to those specific cases mentioned in the mishnah, or do we generalize it that the katan shehigdal has the manas? On all cases that are only the Rabbanan. But Kol Zman is still a cotton, then for sure the cotton doesn't have them on us. Okay, we got to run to Mincha. What's for tomorrow? What are we talking about?